This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis, now a senior strategist with the U.S. Army. He was also an advisor to a key member of the panel that back in the early 90s signed on to the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy in terms of the ongoing ban on homosexuals serving in the U.S. military. We want to get his thoughts now, as it appears that the President and Congressional Democrats are trying to fast-track this, at least to some extent, in the current Congress. And, sir, thanks very much for your time, as always.
Well, thank you, Greg.
Well, we heard the President mention this idea of lifting the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy in a State of the Union address. And for the most part, most people at the higher echelons of the military, like Defense Secretary Gates, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, say they're okay with that. But they also initiated a relatively long review period to make sure they wanted the right policy in place. Why is this seeming to be expedited now?
Well, for political reasons, clearly. You have the Democrats in both the House and the Senate see November coming as a tsunami of political change, and they want to put in place, with a payback to their political constituency, a marker, and that is to, you know, repeal as best as they can Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Now, the legislation that they're considering that I've seen suggests that they would put a clock on it. In other words, it wouldn't go into effect until after the President, Secretary, and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs certify that there is a plan. Once that plan is outlined on or about the 1st of December. So it's really about politics.
Colonel, obviously this issue was studied in great detail back when the commission that you are affiliated with worked on it in the early 1990s. So how much study is needed now when we talk about the review that Secretary Gates talked about a number of months ago? What would be the purpose of that lengthy review?
Well, the fundamental difference between what we did in 93 and what they're doing today is that we were considering the question whether or not to lift the ban. This time, they're just considering how to implement repeal. They're not considering the other question. And so they're looking at every aspect of mitigation that must be put into place. In other words, do they have to change the Uniform Code of Military Justice to dump the sodomy provision? Do they have to look at the impact on retention, and how do they train people to be more sensitive to this group of people that perhaps would serve openly? There's just a wide variety of issues, and that's all they're doing. It's an implementation plan once a repeal takes place, not whether or not to do it.
Given all the research you've done on this, what conclusions have you reached on what lifting the ban or changing this however the Democrats want to do it would have on morale as well as retention as well as performance on the battlefield?
Well, I certainly think it's going to hurt unit effectiveness where you have openly serving homosexuals. I think there will be significant health consequences if we have a higher number of that particular category of people serving in the military, because certainly the Centers for Disease Control is very clear on male-to-male sex consequences for HIV and other terrible problems. Recruitment is going to be a special issue. That's more about what parents and significant others in one's life has to say whether or not you should be recruited. And keep in mind, we have an all-volunteer force, and fewer than 3 out of 10 Americans aged 17 to 24 qualify to even serve in today's armed forces. So it's becoming more difficult all the time to attract new people to serve. And then retention. Some of those, especially of the cohort in the military today that tend to be religious and think that this is just political payback, and this is a mark against those that have strong feelings on this issue, will make a decision in a time of war that maybe this isn't the place to continue to volunteer for. Now, nobody knows what those numbers are going to look like, but we operate on a threat. And so if you're going to alienate those that we can continue to go back to, then that's a problem. And there are certainly, what happens to the chaplains and the whole moral obligation of standing up and declaring what God's Word says, and that's going to be a problem for some. There are going to be costs associated with taxpayer-funded benefits. Perhaps we're going to have to, as General Conway, the Commandant of the Marine Corps, said, segregate people out as 4 sets of barracks rather than 2. So those are the types of things that we're looking at.
Colonel, you mentioned numbers of a different kind a moment ago. What about the numbers on Capitol Hill? Are there enough votes up on Capitol Hill to get this through?
Well, we saw the president force through health care. We've seen them, you know, force a number of issues under the leadership of the speaker, who seems to be willing to, you know, offer up a lot of concessions or, you know, pork barrel promises to people to switch their votes. I wouldn't put it beyond that. You clearly have something in the House that will come to the floor on Thursday. You have something in the Senate that, at least in the committee, that's being considered. And I think you have some members that are kind of soft on this particular issue. So it's really a matter of, are people going to be swayed by one side or the other on this important issue?
Well, Colonel, thank you very much, as always, for your time and helping us understand the magnitude of this debate as well as possible. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Greg.
Retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis, now a senior strategist with the U.S. Army. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.